Hello, folks. Welcome to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. It's Bill Gallagher back with you again this morning on a beautiful day. We had some crazy weather this last week. The governor actually issued a warning that Florida was supposed to tuck in its wings and harden up when some of the schools closed. That was like yesterday, 2 days ago. But anyway, storm blew through here quick, and everyone is in good shape, and the sun is out, and that's what we want to talk about. I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Daytona Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram for their loyal support through the years, and particularly to our driver, Mr. Daniel Dye, who's competing this year full-time in a Craftsman Series truck racing, NASCAR, and also running 10 select Xfinity races, which are starting at about 36 days, 4 hours and 6 minutes from now. We don't keep track of that type of stuff around here, but we're getting pretty darn excited. So he'll be driving for a colleague for 10 of the Xfinity races. So if you haven't got it on your calendar, please join us out to the Daytona International Speedway and help cheer Daniel on. And the cause that we're all so passionate about, the race to stop suicide. And thank you all for your support in that. Well, got a really special guest that drove all the way down from Palm Coast, which was about 30 miles. He did it in 6 minutes. He's got a very special car. Mr. Chanti Kai is with us today. Chanti.
Perfect. Yes, hi. Perfect.
And thank you for helping me with your last name. It's spelled differently than you pronounce it, but it's really cool. So Chanti and I met, oh gosh, I don't know, what, two months ago. Like that. Right. Was introduced by Tony. I thought Tony was going to be here too. Where do you go?
No, Tony is, I think, taking care of his wife there, who's recently been in hospital. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, gosh, he's such a great guy.
Yeah.
I think he knows everyone. And if he doesn't know anyone, he'll call him anyway.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love his energy for sure. So anyway, we were introduced, and then, boy, just by happenstance, we were doing an installation on a commercial system up in St. Augustine, and we could not figure out who we were going to select to find this product called a CT. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And, boy, Chanti jumps up and says, wait a minute, I manufacture those things. So, Chanti, welcome to the show. First of all,
definitely.
Tell our listening audience where you grew up and how you got down here.
Okay, so I first of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's wonderful, and it's definitely nice to be out, especially in sunny Florida. And so in any case, a little bit about me. I was born in Cambodia back in the, I want to say, late 60s. And and then, of course, I think I was 8 years old during that Khmer Rouge, which is the dark days of Cambodia back then. And that Holocaust, if you will, of our version of the Nazi camps. And after that, we made our way to Thailand, to the UN camps, and resettled in Chicago in 1981. Yeah, so early years in Cambodia, the first 9-10 years of my life there, and then resettled in Chicago, right from the tropics to the Windy City. So you can imagine how that was, the word culture shock I was trying to describe you offline, Bill. Oh my God. This is Lake Michigan breeze. Oh, it's unbelievable.
So cool. Take us back to Cambodia. I know that probably some of the not the best memories, okay, but growing up as a child there, boy, that had to be something else.
Oh, it's it's very difficult, especially, you know, well, you grow up in the weather, in a nice environment. You have childhood, right? I try not to think about it because I don't want to go through the shrink. I don't have that. Never had childhood. I mean, I had childhood full of horror. And, you know, you see, you know, people dying and liver parts on papaya tree and things like that. Just, you know, the shallow grave just being open, the rice field full of fat. So it's nothing but people just got murdered. And a slaughter. I mean, you think about it this way, hard to visualize, about a quarter of the population, you know, either, you know, famine, right? Basic necessities like diarrhea, right? Fever. There's no Tylenol, right? And that just basic food. You don't have sugar and salt. So the things that we, you know, normally think of here, just basic need, necessity, survival, we never had. And it's not because of the shortage of food, just the policies force you that way. This is similar. I could relate to the folks in North Korea, right? North Korea is not dying because of famine. They're dying because the leaders forcing them to be in that state, because then you have what you call a force loyalty, if you will, right? Either believe you're loyal or you'll be shot, right? Or if you're an educator, or the case might be, of the different, or the whole Chairman Mao concept, re-education camp, right? So if they think that you're not worthy of re-education, or you know too much, and then you died. And simplicity putting it, for your audience is this, Bill, is just close your eyes and visualize 24 hours of the end of Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, New York. It just went dark, meaning that at the invasion, if you will, the political turn, the invasion of the Khmer Rouge, what took over, they literally, with guns pointing, you evacuate. Literally, I just remember that now that I'm sitting here. And just midnight, they just come through and say, you get out of the house. Imagine, visualize it yourself now. It'd be, watching the NFL playoff, right? Or golf, par nine, right? And then you get out of your house and you leave. And that's for the next 4 years. You're in the mud. I don't know, you can find mud here in Florida, right? And then you just, from then on, just hell, one after the other. And your family, one or two, either died or, they get taken off. It's almost like sorting, like, it's one of those things, like, your kids, like, you pick people on your team, you pick names. This is, except this is not a survival game, it's a death game, right? They pick your name, and then that's pretty much death.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's beyond. It's, sometimes I try to limit that to my son, but the love that I share with him, he couldn't comprehend, and I don't blame him, because he's just so extraordinary, so out of this world, right? Why would you do that?
Wow, that is incredible, yeah. Chandy. It may be part of the reason you become so successful now, because I love to hear stories that people come from other countries and really kind of start out with nothing and grow a business and be able to have employees that you've done. So when you left Cambodia, you went to Thailand, okay, and then how did you get from Thailand over to America?
So there was a UN camp set up right at the border of Thailand. So we snuck to the camp, and then luckily we have an uncle who just passed away about 5 years ago, sponsors from Chicago, and we located him. He was in Chicago, so we applied, obviously, through immigration process and put in paperwork. And luckily, it's one of those things, it's they say heaven sent. It's truly, it means exactly just that, and you pray, but you don't know. I mean, what is America, right? I mean, when you've been so in hellish, so you just want to get out to go somewhere, whether America, Canada, wherever it happens to be. What is home, right? When you don't have any possession, the only possession you have is a short, a T-shirt, and a flip-flop, right? You can tropics. And then our name came up, and then we went through the interview process, and that was just that. I mean, I couldn't commend the diplomats, the immigration folks. They go through the vetting system, this and that, make sure we're good people. And then a total, I think it was 8 months, we were in the UN camp, and they flew us right to Chicago.
Oh boy, what a culture shock!
And people say, "Wow, that's a culture shock." And then, we've had, again, discussion offline. But, I mean, what is culture shock? Look at the dictionary. It defines it, but you don't really know what it means. The comprehension's not there, right? But just trying to think of it this way, when you're in Cambodia and Asia, the majority is Asians, right? And then when I came in the early 80s, 81, you became that 2% or 3%. Right. I remember going to school, fifth grade. Coming back, tears just falling off, just literally flowing. And then I kept saying, what does that mean? It couldn't. I just couldn't comprehend, absorb the fact that why all of a sudden you are a minority, one, and two, you have no. It's beyond handicap because, you know, people ask, like, do you speak English? You go, oh, my automatic is always, like, you've been told, you know, just a little bit.
A little bit. Well, you speak great English now.
It's amazing. This is home. America has given me it beyond. I mean, this is home, period. I don't even ponder. And then to create the life, you know, the education, and to live here, reestablish oneself. I mean, you know, people, when I used to work with corporate America, they said, what private school did you go to? I said, it's called Chicago Public School. Thank you.
Well, I think back then the education was excellent. So then you went to Chicago Public School. Then where? Where did you go then?
Then I went back earlier in a conversation about having childhood. The fact I never had childhood, and we grew up in poverty, and so all I wanted to do was to make money, right? To get something that's meaningful. Mm-hmm. You can't do that in elementary school. You couldn't do that in high school. So I finished. I started fifth grade, and then the teacher combined sixth and seventh grade together in 1 year. So I did from fifth to eighth, I did 3 years. Wow. And then I did 3 years of high school. And my counselor said, you're not normal. You don't do that because you couldn't master the language yet. You want to go to college. So that wasn't encouraging. But, you know, I said, you know what? It's something that you want to do. So I left high school, graduated my junior year, and then went to Illinois Institute of Technology for another 4, and then graduated as electrical engineering, a Bachelor of Electrical Engineering there, and then started my career with the old Westinghouse in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't stand Chicago. It was just cold. I told my mom, either east or west.
Or south.
Yeah, or south.
Or not north.
Exactly. Well,
yeah, I can't imagine wearing flip-flops in Chicago, even in the summertime.
Oh, my God. It's just cold. I mean, I love the city and what they've done, and that it's always my home, but no. It's cold.
Well, tell me a little bit more. Once you went from Westinghouse, take us forward.
So Westinghouse, I did some work on, you know, some radar system for the airport. You see these airports with the orange radar system. I did a little work on that and then left there, worked for various companies, smaller ones, because I graduated in 91. That's right at the recession. And then I started my career with defense. Like somebody up there saying that's, you know, you're beyond that, right? So I left and then joined corporate America, DeWalt. Black and Decker.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I joined them, and then from then on, that was just literally the world open, because in the private sector, you know, anything is possible, right? There's no seniority. Yeah. There's no legacy. You got to be from West Point, VMI, any of that. Just, you know, you're aggressive, you're it. So I went through, spent years at building DeWalt, really, from engineering, electrical engineering to project manager and then product manager. Hmm. And then that's when I realized, wow, capitalism is big and it's also pretty rewarding.
Right.
And then I started thinking, what can I do beyond the corporate life? And then certainly that's when the inkling, the itching of starting my own business at some point. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a fascinating story. But to come all the way from Cambodia through Chicago and then end up down here in Palm Coast. Folks, we're going to take a short break, but please stay with us when we come back. We're going to talk more with Chanti and fill you in on the next edition.
Hi folks, Bill Gallagher with SolarFit here. Have you ever thought about utilizing solar power for your home or business? Well, there's never been a better time to plug into the sun and stop renting electricity. How would you like to let your roof start paying you each month? Give us a call at 445-7606. That's 445-7606. Or visit us at solarfit.com and set yourself free.
SolarFit your life and set yourself free with the sun's free energy.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Solar Fit Renewable Energy Show. Bill Gallagher. I'm talking with my friend Chanti Kai. Shanti, before the break, wow, man, what an interesting story. What a livelihood you've gone through. But thank you and congratulations for finally getting back where it's warm again down here in Palm Coast. God, that's got to feel pretty good. How'd you pick Palm Coast?
Now, my son graduated, I think it was 4 years ago, and I thought, what's the best way to get him out of the country? And it's, you know, teenagers are difficult. So I lined up a cruise line right in Port Canaveral. I have some friends here, acquaintances in Palm Coast. So that was a short stop. And then I just, for some reason, since my first time in Florida when I took Brandon here to Disneyland when he was three years old at the time, just my strong infatuation with the sun. You know, I remember landing in Orlando, airport, I was like, oh my God. You know, and then the story of, I told this to the city council folks, Palm Coast, and that is, it's like a story of a turtle, you know, where you're born, and you're ready to die, you go to your place of that. So maybe I have another 100 years left. But boy, it is so true. This is as close to home without the crazy humidity of Southeast Asia, right?
Right.
But the sun here is just amazing. And Palm Coast, small city, just a disparity between contrast, if you will, between Chicago, right?
Oh, my God.
Different, but you know what? This is the way it should be. Yeah. Life should be like this, so people know each other.
Yeah.
My neighbors, you know, we're on the first basis, help each other out all the time. We look after each other. And to me, that's the next America, yeah. You know, that I really long for, and being a small town.
Well, what inclined you to start your business?
Now, I spent my years there at DeWalt. And then my parents back in Cambodia, they've always had their farm. They're like the Mindy Dole family. You know, they've always had commercial farming, and they're very well off. And then they've always talked about, you know, they would divide the lands up and then acres, and each one have portions of that. And then I thought about, corporate life. Then you see people before you retired. If you're lucky, you get a going away party, a cake,
right?
And then it's like, thank you for your service for 30 years. You get a plaque, right? And then I thought about the tower I was renting. And then I just realized, oh, my God, I'm actually renting out my life, right? Because there's no equity. You know, after your lease is done, you leave, right? Mm-hmm. It's the landlord's collecting all the equities. And then that just became more and more to as I get older, right? And realize that, you know, my life, I'm leasing it. I've been leasing it for 20-plus years. And then I started to read various biography, the Ford, you know, the World Edison, and then, you know, the drive. One thing I wanted to do was, you know, everyone's want to do something independent. It's very noble. It's very inspiring. But also, it's very suicidal. It's when you have a stable income. You take everything that you have and you put in a new business, right? It could be zero, and then you're in the mid-40s, late 40s. If you belly up, you know, you're going bankruptcy. So I started to train myself. Am I durable enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have that hunger, that drive to be a business owner? And I maneuvered my way. And then I kept the last 2 or 3 years going through ideas. 2008, as a matter of fact, I started entertaining a different concept. About 2 or 3 years, and then people would tell me, you know, why wouldn't you come and work for me? I'd do some business and so on, especially the overseas folks who wanted to settle in the U.S., Europe as well as in Asia. Then I realized, you know what, that's time, right? So I started 2010, that's when I start, you know, breaking the bank and start taking money. I would start hitting in the garage. It's like a human. It, you know, people say America nowadays, you know, opportunism is a lot much less. It's very tough to do. It's which lens you put on. Opportunity is more now than ever in the history of our nation, from the days of Henry Ford or the Edison. You know, all that, because why is that the case? because today you don't need vertical manufacturing anymore, right? You don't need the tooling, the injection molding, the model shop, right? And all the crazy 3D modeling and all of that. You would need different drafters. You can hire folks outside and format out. I'd have almost like a matrix organization. You just have a different expertise. And then you have very lean. You just focus on the product and the design. A perfect example would be in the 80s when you started manufacturing, or any office or company matter, imagine just a fax machine, right? Mm-hmm. Copy machine. The computer, that alone will get you probably at least $10,000, right? I mean, you can go Staples right now, pick up a printer for like freaking $250, right? Or go on to eBay, have, say, get the $30 printer, and it works, right? And who the hell uses fax machines, right?
You're right.
So it's the drive. And the word that I often use all the time with the folks that work for me is the word is can-do-ism. You know, it's not cannibalism. We don't do that kind of stuff in the Western world. You know, that attitude, right? The can-do-ism. You know, you will get a lot of no's. You'll get a lot of kicks. You get a lot of cynicism. But you know what? You work for yourself. The only person that's laughing at you is you, right? So I had that attitude, and then I kept going at it and starting 2010. And then I was given this DNA by my mom, the ability to talk to people and they listen. I think that's the rare thing that she gave to me. So I would went to conventions and shows and would show this product. And the guys, the big names that you see out there in the utility world, right? The big names, the big five names, we'll probably have three or four of them, a private brand through us, right? They would call and listen. And they say, you know what? I like the idea. Let's talk some more. And that's how it came about. Truly, Bill, I didn't have a marketing engine. I didn't go to, you know, I have an MBA, but I didn't go to Harvard. You know, I'm proud of the Ivy Leagues. You know, I went to a good school, Loyola University in Maryland, MBA. But it's an average American school, right? Above average American school. And with American education, public and not private, right? But it's just, you know, for folks that just recently landed at the airport, like this minute, or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, the opportunities in America, it's just literally abundance. It just yet the hunger, the drive, the fight, you know, that can-do-ism to go at it. And then that's how we met, right? I mean, through stuff like that. And then we're able to partner on a project in St. Augustine. I mean, it's a pleasure. And we were on the radio station.
Boy, that happened pretty quick, didn't it?
Yeah, things pretty quick.
Well, I had a chance to visit your manufacturing plant up on Commerce Boulevard
in
Palm Coast. And man, yeah. Not only is it spotlessly clean, but the people there are awesome. I'll tell you, they are all awesome. They obviously they love you and they love what they're doing.
It's amazing, you know, when you. One is, you know, obviously it's a great feeling to create jobs of folks, but the other is to make a difference, you know, people's lives. They come in. I've in my interview process, very simple. You know, can you sweep the floor? Right? Do you mind, you know, cleaning the table? Right? There's no job description on this stuff, right? That attitude. And then I always say, if you're here, are you here for money or are you here for enjoyment? You know, if otherwise 8 hours, it's a long time, mm-hmm. a very long time. And then that attitude transcends everybody. I think they truly enjoy. I hope they're working because I'm here with you. So we'll see what happens.
I got a call and they're all on vacation.
Exactly.
No, I think it is all about the attitude, and you're absolutely right. You think about it. If you live to be 60 years old, if you're lucky to be 60 years old, think about this. You spent 20 years of your life sleeping 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
You spend 20 years of your life at work and 20 years of life maybe doing something else. Why not have the 20 years at work enjoyable? Why not
exactly.
work with friends and family and stuff? That's what makes it fun. Come to work.
It is funny for you know some of the listeners there. You know, in the world of corporate America, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like you fight for the cube size, the type of furniture you promoted to a director, right? A VP, and then you have an office, you get a window. I mean, how silly is that? These are grown men, right?
Yeah.
But it does happen today, And the life that we lead as a small business, which, by the way, 3/4 of the GDP of America, it's powered by small businesses. Exactly. So, and for a colleague, a friend of mine, which is also a customer, John, John, sometimes crazy. It's I said, you know, you're like my wife. I said, no, let's not go there. You know, and what he meant to say is like we spent more time together than he goes home in 2 or 3 hours. And I thought, like I said, that's well put.
Yeah.
And so you really have to open your eyes and say, you know, is it the next promotion you're looking for? Or are you coming to work because you truly enjoy it?
That's right.
And when you do, 20 years, 30 years, just like that,
it goes
right?
Quick.
It goes quick. And that's the key to life, I think.
Well, I think the product that you're producing there is making a difference in so many different ways. People, it's kind of something that you don't see and recognize unless you're in the industry, but it's helping you every day. Right? Talk right. about your product.
So what happened was I went from the days of designing electrical products, in this case, universal and permanent magnet motors for power tools. So you have any tools out there, you know, one way or the other, I've touched them, even if it's a yellow tool by DeWalt. So any case, so I thought, what would be the next thing to do that I could carry that knowledge over? And then also look at something that would I impact in arena where the big boys, you know, the $1 billion enterprise would have a tough time getting teeth in. So what, as I was going through, I realized transformer is really just in the motor. It's also, you can do that in the way you measure electricity. You know, for example, you know, let's say in your house, you have this socket meter in the back, right, which measure kilowatt hours. Well, for utility, their concern is billing you for an entire house. They don't care about how your usage or your profile. As a matter of fact, they don't want to know, let you to know on the hourly basis how much you use, because guess what? Now you become conscious of your behavior.
You use less.
You reuse less AC and right. and so on. So what we do here, we're the really three fronts. One is bringing awareness of energy management, using your energy, because the way that we're managing the utility we're managing right now is what I call a reactive, right? July is already gone, and you get a bill, and that is happens to be 105 in Florida, mm-hmm. and you crank up the AC to 69, and then the bill is 300. It's too late, so you're not going to do a corrective actions. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we put a current sensor. And then your circuit breaker, your panels, and any part of your house that you want to measure, be your son's room, your living room, or your garage, or even the sprinkler system. And what it does, it monitors and tracks your usage. You can turn things on and off as you see fit remotely with your mobile phone or any website access-based, if you will. And then what it does, it gives you a proactive way of reducing your energy as you see it live. And also, you know, everybody talked about, you know, green and all that stuff. A lot of times, you know, we preach, you know, what we don't do, right? It's more of the thing. You got to be a doer, right, rather than a sayer, mm-hmm. so a talker. So what this does is that it gives you the ability to not just save money, but reducing the carbon that we all have talked about all the time, the green gas and all that jazz and the power plant. America can actually reduce at least 30-40% across the board without blinking an eye.
That is amazing. Chanti, we're almost out of time here. What's the name of your company?
The name is WattCore Inc. We're right in the Palm Coast, and certainly you can see us at WattCore, WATTCORE.com, WattCore.com, and you'll read all about us. And so next time you're at the airport or you're ordering things from Amazon, chances are it's powered by our products.
There you go, folks. I know you're out there listening today. Do you want to save money? Okay. You can give Chanti a call. Look up his company information at WattCore. Or you can call us. We'll connect you. We'll actually be offering his products on a regular basis now.
Definitely.
Thank you very much.
Oh, definitely. We're looking forward to work together.
Hey, thanks so much, man. This is fun.
Oh, it's definitely good.
We'll do it
so
again.
Much.
I want to
definitely.
Have your son Brandon on
definitely.
Next time. He's an awesome guy.
We're talking about astrophysics in the next show.
Astrophysics, folks. Hang on. Okay, folks, going to leave it for now. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
SolarFit Renewable Energy Radio Show, paid for by SolarFit.